Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Come on in and sit a while. Relax. Put your feet up while we tell you a story. Today's show is the second part of our dramatization of a short story by Alastair Miller called The Burglar and the Blizzard. We hope you enjoyed part two of this Christmas special, brought to you by the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA Radio. Last week, we began with the young millionaire Jeffrey Holland having dinner with friends in New York City. While dining, Jeffrey discovers that there has been a rash of burglaries near his vacation house in Hillsboro, and that his sister is one of the thief's victims, having lost her sable coat and silver table settings. Jeffrey feels compelled to travel to Hillsboro to investigate. When he arrives, on Christmas Eve, there is a massive blizzard in progress. Proceeding to the house, he catches the burglar inside. Jeffrey discovers he and the robber attended school together, but this does nothing to soften his feelings. The burglar explains that his sister, who has no idea he is a thief, is stranded in a woodman's hut nearby, and begs Jeffrey to save her from the storm. After locking the burglar in a closet, Jeffrey sets out on his rescue mission. When he arrives at the shanty, he meets the most beautiful girl he has ever seen and is immediately smitten. Jeffrey brings the stunning young lady back to his house, where they both fall asleep in front of the fireplace. Let's rejoin them now on Christmas Day. The girl is sleeping peacefully on the sofa and looks like an angel in repose. Jeffrey suddenly remembers that he left the burglar locked in a closet and unlocks the closet door. McVeigh, the burglar, emerges and says,
"Well, where have you been all this time?"
"You should be thankful I'm back at all. Several times it did not appear we would make it."
"Where is Cecilia?"
"Asleep on the sofa in the library."
"Ah, I bet you had the devil of a time. I bet you wished once or twice that you had let me go fetch her."
"It wasn't easy."
"Easy? I should think not. These things are difficult enough among men, but women, so sensitive, so cloistered."
"Your sister behaved nobly."
"Bound to, Holland. Still, it must have been challenging."
"It would have been a hard trip for any woman."
"Oh, I wasn't speaking of the trip. I meant about me, being in your custody. What did she say?"
"She didn't say anything. She went to sleep."
"She didn't say anything when you told her I am a burglar?"
"Oh, why should I tell her what she must already know?"
"I tell you she knows nothing about my profession."
"Your profession?"
"She hasn't a notion of it."
"What, with my sister's coat on her back?"
"No. You see, I told her that I'd found a charity store where I could get things for nothing."
"She must be very gullible."
"Or else I must be a pretty good dissembler."
"She seems like a very trusting soul, and you take advantage of her innocence. How valorous."
"I dare say you were quite anxious about me."
"I never thought of you at all. After I got in, I went to sleep for 3 hours.
"Asleep? Well, really, Holland, I don't think that was very considerate."
"Don't talk so loud. You'll wake your sister."
"Do you have any food? I'm starving."
"I will fetch some canned goods. Go see if your sister is awake."
"Yes, all right."
"Good morning, Cecilia. Here is the dining room. After you."
"Oh, my, this is wondrous. And it's Christmas. I'm so glad we have a chance to spend the holiday together."
"Oh, yes. Merry Christmas, sister. And to you, Holland."
"Merry Christmas, brother."
It is only canned goods, I admit. But it is sustenance."
"Oh, this is fine. It's merely lunch. I'll cook you dinner."
"Miss McVeigh, with apologies, we will not be here at dinner time. Your brother will tell you why we must go."
"Now?"
"At once."
"Say no more. Thank you for bearing with us so long. Billy, this gentleman wants us to leave. We will start at once. I will go gather my things."
"Upon my word, Holland, it is madness to start as late as this. It will be dark in an hour."
"On second thought, you are right, McVeigh. It is too late to start tonight. We must stay until tomorrow. But if we are to spend the night here without your sister being told..."
"I know what you are going to ask. My word of honor not to escape. I give it. I give it willingly."
"You have it wrong. I'm not going to ask for anything at all. I'm going to tell you one or two things. Remember, I am armed. You will always keep in front of me where I can see you plainly. If you should come near or take a sudden step in my direction, I'll shoot you just as sure as I'm standing here now.
Oh, come on, Holland. Isn't that a bit harsh? You would gun me down before my own sister?
I would not like to, but I will not let you escape.
You would shoot me in cold blood in front of Cecilia?
Without hesitation.
But think of the shock to her.
No more of a shock, perhaps, than discovering that you are a thief. Come, let's go talk to her.
Huh. She's not in the library. She must have gone upstairs. If you don't think me impolite, Holland, I'll continue with Tristram Shandy. I have so little opportunity to read.
As they waited for Cecilia, Geoffrey tried to sort through his feelings. He had never been in love, but now his whole nature responded to the allure of the girl upstairs. The existence of McVeigh, though, cast a dark cloud over everything he was feeling. How could he finish his business with the burglar without alienating Cecilia? She soon rejoined them.
Ah, you have your sable coat.
Yes, I am ready to depart.
Oh, do you really think I want you to go?
I have not been thinking about the matter at all. You asked us to leave, and so we shall.
How could you imagine anything of the kind?
At lunch, you insisted that we go. Perhaps you have changed your mind, but my mind is made up.
I have changed since I met you, in ways I don't fully understand. I feel I have been waiting my entire life for you to come, and it is disheartening to think of you leaving.
You are very kind, but as you said, we must leave. Or have you forgotten saying that?
You misunderstood. I intended to leave with you, and I only urged our going because...
Well, why?
Because we could be snowed in. Now it is getting late.
I must have misunderstood.
You will stay then?
Until we can go safely.
No longer?
We are already most indebted to you.
After the arduousness of our journey from the hut, we should rest and regain our strength before setting out again.
Yes, Cecilia, you must see the force of Geoffrey's reasoning. The walk from the woodman's cabin must have been terrible. Holland has just been telling me about it, saying how courageous you were, a perfect heroine. So he says.
Mr. Holland is very kind.
Kind? Kind? Well, I should think so. Why, I could give you innumerable instances of his kindness.
Please, McVeigh, do not trouble yourself.
There. See how he is? So modest. So unassuming.
McVeigh?
And this is where you sat all night?
Yes. Here we sat, discussing plans for your safety.
Why was it, Billy, that you did not come after me yourself?
That is just what I said to him. If I said it once, I said it a dozen times. Holland, it is my duty to go. But once he gets an idea into his head, it takes a pry bar to get it out.
Billy, I don't think you ought to talk like that, even in fun. Mr. Holland insisted on going because he is an honorable man.
But, Cecilia, I am an honorable man as well.
Well, then why did you not come yourself?
You are not quite fair to your brother. He did propose going himself, but I would not let him. I made it a personal matter.
Very personal. I'll just explain how it was. Last night, as soon as I realized how bad the storm was, I made up my mind to find shelter. This house was nearby, so I came in and turned on a light, a spooky thing in an empty house. I picked up a book and had quite forgotten where I was when a voice at my elbow said, "Fond of reading?" I made every effort to leave, but he would not hear of such a thing. He made it perfectly plain, in fact, that it was his wish to keep me. I yielded.
McVeigh?
Well, it has been a painful experience for you, my dear, but at least you were warmly clad. A handsome coat, eh, Holland?
Very.
Now, that coat was a real bargain. I paid nothing for it, little more than the trouble of taking it home. Well, shouldn't we get started preparing our Christmas dinner?
You go ahead, Cecilia. We'll be right there.
You'll know where I'll be.
Why do you deliberately try to exasperate me?
Why do little boys put their tongues on lampposts in freezing weather? Don't you find me entertaining? Be candid.
No.
As I remember back in school, you had a better sense of humor.
Presently, they sat down to their Christmas dinner. Cecilia had cooked up a feast, and Jeffrey complimented her on the marvelous repast. As he finished, McVeigh rose to his feet.
My dear Holland, I will not wish you a Merry Christmas, for it has already been as merry as any I ever had. But allow me to express my deep gratitude to you for this delightful occasion. I shall look back on this Christmas as one of the best ever. It is perhaps the warm glow of friendship that negates all the small discomforts. For in situations like ours, characters are tested. And yours, Holland, has stood the test.
Thank you.
I have here a slight token in honor of the day. It is of little monetary value, but I feel that it may be more valuable to you because it is peculiarly mine. I offer it with best wishes for a happy new year.
Thank you, McVeigh. Very good of you.
Now, why would Mr. Holland want a picture of you, Billy?
It may be of the greatest service to him.
I can't make a speech like Billy's, but I have a small present for you, which I hope you'll like, although it is not new. I have worn it myself for some time, and I hope you will now, in remembrance of the time when you sheltered the homeless.
My, what a gorgeous pin. The little inlaid topaz is, it looks very expensive, doesn't it, McVeigh?
I see you're hesitant to accept my gift, Mr. Holland. Very well. It is merely a bauble. Excuse me.
Here, I will clear the table.
Wait a moment. Look, McVeigh, I see you understand my sentiments towards your sister. I think she is astonishing. That's all you need to know.
Naturally, Holland. She is.
The point is that you seem to be under the impression that this will do you some good. Well, it won't. You go to jail when the snow melts. Then I settle my affairs.
Really, Holland? Are you telling me that you're in love with my sister but intend to send me to prison anyway?
I mean exactly that.
Why, she'd never forgive you. Are you serious, Holland?
Of course I am serious. Do you think my feelings for your sister absolve you of your crimes?
Well, I'd hope it might soften your resolve.
Enough! Follow me to the library. I'm going to give you a pipe, confound you.
A pipe? Why?
Because I want to give your sister something, and I think she would be more likely to accept it.
I'm afraid she was rather offended by the way you treated her gift. A pretty thing, just like the one Mrs. Innes used to wear.
Don't tell me where you took it from. I don't want to know. Come and get your pipe and act grateful.
A pipe? I think I'll take that large meerschaum.
No, I think you will not. The best pipe I own. No, indeed. You will take this revolting little one that won't draw.
No. You must give me the big one. Otherwise, I will lead her to believe that you promised it to me and turned stingy at the last moment. I shall say, my dear fellow, I'm glad you changed your mind about the meerschaum. It was too handsome for a man in my position. That will raise her hackles.
All right. I will give you my favorite pipe, you viper.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
The gift exchange went well. McVeigh pretended to hesitate over accepting so handsome a present, and Jeffrey pressed it upon him with good grace. As far as his present to Cecilia was concerned, he found himself less and less willing to offer it in McVeigh's presence, and more unable to think of any way to get rid of him except murder or locking him in the closet again. During a break in the conversation, she said,
"Billy, will you please take my hat and coat upstairs for me?"
"Certainly I will."
"McVeigh, let me help your sister."
"Oh, not at all. Let me."
"I wouldn't hear of it. Just a moment. Cecilia, excuse us. Out in the hall, McVeigh." "You would love a chance to escape, eh?"
I instinctively responded to my sister's request. I would not have acted differently if your pistol had been at my head.
"I've warned you once."
"Holland, I think you'll excuse my telling you that you act rather harshly at times."
"Perhaps there is a compromise. See that piano over there?"
"Yes, it is hard to miss."
"Can you play?"
"Yes, I can. Well, I'm not a professional, you understand, but for an amateur, I've been told I'm not too bad."
"I don't care how you play. There is the piano. Sit down and play, and don't stop."
No, Holland. That will not do. I've not touched the instrument for over a year."
"You can do all the practicing you like here and now. You can play finger exercises for all I care. All I want is for you to make noise so that I know you are there."
"Well, you must promise not to judge too harshly. You must make allowances for my lack of practice."
"There is only one thing I won't make allowances for, and that is you moving from that music stool."
"All right. Let's see."
"Good. Keep it up."
"Is that Billy? It must be a great pleasure to him to have a piano again. He is so fond of music."
"He was not eager to play, but I was persuasive. May I have my Christmas present?"
"I have none to give you."
"But you offered me a pin."
"I've changed my mind."
"Why?"
"Mr. Holland, you must think I am very unobservant. How could I fail to see your dislike for my brother? You refused the pin because Billy had given it to me. I will not offer it again. Do you suppose he can't see how you feel toward him? And does he restrain himself for his own sake? No, he doesn't want to make my time here uncomfortable by arguing with you. His self-control is made of steel. I admire him more than I can say."
"And what about my self-control?"
"You have been exercising self-control? I could not tell it."
"No, you are right. I can see I have no self-control. I love you."
McVeigh had been so completely forgotten by Jeffrey and Cecilia that he could have made good his escape with half an hour to spare, if only he had known. That night, Jeffrey locked him in the dressing room just off his own bedroom. He was awakened at dawn by a persistent knocking on his door.
"Jeffrey! Oh, Jeffrey, please get up. There was someone trying to break into the house. I heard a window open and steps on the piazza below my room. Please hurry."
"Just a moment. Let me get my pistol. Come on. There he is. Just let me get a bead on him."
"Wait! Don't shoot! It's Billy!"
"McVeigh!"
"He heard you, see? He's coming back. Oh, heavens, I'm glad you did not fire at him by mistake."
"I'm afraid they got away, Holland. I did my best to catch them."
"There was a burglar, then?"
"Yes, there was, but by heaven, he shall not trouble you. Wait here, and I will go make sure your brother is all right." "You were just about half a second away from taking a bullet."
"I was aware I took a risk, but I did it for my sister's sake."
"For your sister's sake?"
"Yes, and yours. Be honest, Holland. What could be more of a relief to you than to find I had disappeared?"
"If I shot you, it would save me the trouble of prosecuting you."
"But at what cost? Just think of my sister." No, the best thing would be to let me escape, allow you some privacy."
"Do you mean that?"
"Of course."
"Then take this revolver and go shoot yourself."
No, Holland. To take a risk is one thing, to kill myself quite another. I have always had strong feelings against suicide. I think it is cowardly, and it would be no help to you. Cecilia knows my views on the subject and could not imagine it. It is against my principles."
"Your principles? Well, perhaps you have a point after all. Sit down right there and write out a list of everything you have stolen, where it is, and how it might be repossessed. If I can return all property, perhaps. I own a mine in Mexico, a hell on earth, where you can go if you prefer it to prison. There won't be much difference, except for the publicity of a trial. Which will you have?
That's an easy question. Which will be easier for my sister?
Then sit down and write the list.
An interesting occupation, mining. Let's see. The opal pendant. That was a lovely piece. Appealed to my artistic side. I let it go at an absurdly low price, but the dealer was a connoisseur. My God, Holland, if that is the police, keep your wits about you or we are lost.
Hello?
Ah, I'm glad to see you safe, Mr. Holland. Many people have been worried about you. I'm the detective working on the Vaughn and Marheim cases. I was told to check in on you since no one had heard from you for a couple of nights.
The snow detained me.
Ah, well, it's stopped now.
Come in, friend. You must be cold.
I didn't catch this gentleman's name. Who is he?
This is the man you are after.
Are you crazy, Holland?
What? The Vaughn burglar? You caught him without assistance? I must congratulate you, sir.
There is no need for congratulations. You see, we went to school together, and for several reasons, I can't prosecute him.
But I can. Indeed, it is my duty to.
No. I don't want you to prosecute him either. I realize it is abetting a felon, but sit and let us talk it over.
I cannot agree to anything of the kind.
Please, give me a moment to explain. For personal reasons, I have no choice. This man can't go to trial. Here's what I propose. He is making a list of all the things he has stolen, and I will see that they are returned to their owners. Your job will be to get him safely to a mine I own in Mexico. Once there, he can't get away, and he will never commit burglary in this area again. If you do this, I will give you $10,000 to make up for the reward you didn't get. $5,000 now, and $5,000 once I receive confirmation from Mexico.
I don't know what to say. It sounds like a bribe.
It is.
I never received such a proposition as this.
That scheme won't work, Holland. He might just take off with the money.
Oh, he does not strike me as that type. Besides, he won't get his second $5,000 until you are in Mexico.
I'm no thief, sir. I'm a man of honor. If I accept, I'll uphold my end of the bargain.
If you accept, then, let me offer you a piece of advice, and that is not to take your eye off that man for a single instant. He is a slippery customer.
Then using a train is no good. He could sneak off at any stop. But he can't sneak off a boat, and if he did, nobody would suffer, except maybe the sharks.
Very true. We can get you on a steamer in the city.
Who's that? Is that the burglar?
Oh, Cecilia, this is
This is my old friend, dear sister, Picklebody. Henderson Picklebody. You have heard his name often enough. I have not seen him since the old days in Savannah.
Well, this is good news. Perhaps we can get out now.
Can and will. Picklebody comes as he always comes, as a rescuer.
I seem to require a great deal of rescuing lately.
Ah, but you don't understand, my dear. We are so fortunate having friends such as these. Picklebody's arrival was sheer coincidence, but it seems that he and Holland are both interested in a mine in Mexico. They want to offer me a job down there. What do you say to that?
Well, Mexico is quite a distance, but is very kind of them. I am sure we will like Mexico.
There, do you hear that? We, gentlemen. What a gem she is.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to go?
My dear, I confess that I was selfishly considering a plan that would separate us. The mine, it seems, is no place for ladies.
Oh, dear, dear Billy, always thinking of me and never of yourself. You must not give it up. Nothing is as important as you having work that you enjoy. Of course you must accept.
Did you ever hear anything so noble? Yes, since these gentlemen were so kind, I suppose I ought to accept. I must go. Mustn't I, Picklebody?
Well, it looks like it would be best for you if you did.
There's one more thing, Cecilia. If I do accept, I will have to leave at once. When did you say, Picklebody?
There's a train to New York this afternoon. The steamer sails tomorrow.
Oh, dear, that is very sudden.
At a word from you, dear, I'll give it up.
No, no, of course not. I would never forgive myself.
But there's no need to fret, darling. Why, old Picklebody here is like a brother to me. We've been through many escapades together. Right, Henderson?
I think we should get going. If you are going to make that afternoon train...
Oh, quite right. Are we all ready? Oh, Holland, my dear fellow, have you made sure all the doors and windows are securely locked? I have heard that tramps and thieves often break into shut-up houses, and it would be such a pity if anything happened to your gorgeous furnishings or valuables. Ah, what an expanse of virgin snow. Tropical scenery will never be as beautiful as this, eh, old man? Well, we're off.
My, they look happy.
Yes, they will be fine. When we come back, it will be spring.
We? You like me well enough to ask me to stay again?
I like you well enough to ask you to stay forever.
And with that, the young couple set out happily on their life together. Forever. We hope you have enjoyed the conclusion of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater's production of The Burglar and the Blizzard, adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our producer is Darren Helwig. Our cast featured David Black as Holland, Rita Maloney as Cecilia, Brad Buchanan as the burglar, and Dave Collins was the detective. This is your host, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us again next week at this time on KBIA. From all of us at Maplewood Barn Community Theater, Happy New Year to you and your family.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn Community Players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com.